Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all, too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.
Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach. He is, of course, Darren Bunch, somewhere out in California, witness protection. Thanks for making us a part of your regular podcasting routine. We know you do. We're on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Player FM. And now, as you know, at thefabulousgolftripx.com, we're at Golf Trip Experts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Darren, in a startling and revolutionary move, is now at Golf Getaways on both Twitter and Instagram. I, of course, Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E, throughout the online universe. Hey, D, hope all is good on the Western Edge out there. You feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm doing well today, and we're going to have a fun conversation.
Yes, we are, and it's an unusual. We have a great guest, and when I say unusual, he's unusual in a bunch of different ways. He's going to be joining us from East Hampton, New York. We're going to talk to passionate golfer Bruce Ciska, an architect by trade. Take a beat. Not a golf course architect, but a real-life actual architect. I have been waiting so long to say that, which is one of the things that makes him unusual among, Darren, more than almost 150 guests that have joined us on Talking Golf Getaways, amazingly, somehow. We will, of course, explain how we came to know Bruce and his father, also Bruce. After you and I thank our sponsor for the episode, the fantastic Rams Hill Golf Club in Southern California.
Definitely. And most people know by now that I am working with Rams Hill Golf Club down in Borrego Springs, California. It's out in the Southern California desert, a couple hours from San Diego, not too far from Palm Springs. It's kind of the perfect connector between those two. If you happen to be down doing some kind of a desert journey and then heading over to the coast. That's a fun Tom Fazio design that was resurrected by the guys at Jackson Kahn Design. And about 6 years ago, they came in and brought this course back to life. It had been completely closed down. They weren't watering it. They lost the water rights, in fact. And it's amazing what these guys have done in bringing the golf course back. Jackson Kahn, as you probably know, Mitch, they are behind, among other things, the new courses at Scottsdale National, including the Bad Little Nine, and also the redesign of the Dunes course at Monterey Peninsula Country Club. So it's a good resume, some good people behind the entire project. From Tom Fazio, I want to call it Fazio, Mitch, but they tell me it's Fazio, actually. The people in the know tell me you pronounce it Tom Fazio. I still can't get it right.
Well, I've heard it, and we've got a bunch of Fazio courses here in Myrtle Beach, obviously, but I think we have to go to Italy to find out the correct pronunciation. So anytime you can arrange that trip, I'm good.
Is he Italian?
Fazio?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, right. That would be Italian.
I don't know.
If I made it up, it's still a good story.
Somebody told me it was Irish.
No.
All right. Well, I guess we'll figure that out sometime. Back to Rams Hill. Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire,
drink
and I were just out at Rams Hill. Fall and winter is the perfect time to play. There's great weather, stellar conditions. The golf course is in fantastic shape. It's an interesting design that gives you many options on each hole. And what most golfers don't know is that Rams Hill has lodging options, so you can make your trip out there a true stay and play. Visit ramshill.com or reach out directly to my man, Will Mayo. Try to say that, my man, Will Mayo. At 760-756-4533, or get him on email at wmayo@ramshill.com. You can also reach out to him on Instagram. He is, I think it's Will111, and Will Mayo is actually spelled with only one L. He will help you customize your Rams Hill golf trip, and you got to get out there and play Rams Hill today.
I can't wait to get out there, Darren. I'm serious. That's I've already envisioned spending days and days there, so I will be coming out there soon. Okay, before we get to Bruce, here's your note. Here's your education for the day.
Yes.
Fazio, Italian, one who acted as a watchman or a sentinel, dweller by a beech tree. B-E-E-C-H tree. Okay?
Okay.
And it comes from the ancient and picturesque Italian region of Venice. So there you go.
Well,
that's why there's so much water in Tom Fazio golf courses.
We learn something every day.
There you go. He's connected to the canals. All right, let's get to Bruce. I don't want to keep him waiting any longer. Most of the time, as you who've listened to our podcast know, Darren and I are joined by people that are somehow connected to the game in their day-to-day careers. Writers, photographers, course designers, players. Obviously, we love that. But the other day, I was talking to Bruce on the phone about a recent trip he took to Sand Valley and Erin Hills with his father. And I realized that Bruce is exactly who we do our podcast for. Traveling golfers simply love the game as we do. He's someone that Darren and I met on a trip to Streamsong in Florida. This is unbelievable. A couple of years ago, it has been,
yep.
Which blew my mind. And he's someone that's a perfect example of the gift that golf gives us all, a seemingly random meeting of the hearts and minds that culminates in a lasting friendship. But before we get to our friend, Bruce, a bit about him so you'll know what kind of life his day-to-day life is. As I said, he's joining us from East Hampton, where he is the man. He's in charge of his own distinguished architectural firm, simply called Bruce A.T. Siska Architect, which he started in 2006, about a decade after he got his master's degree in architecture from Syracuse University. But wait, Syracuse U, not in New York, in Florence, Italy. You see how that ties back to Tom Fazio?
Oh, I see that. Where you're going.
I love that. He and his team specialize high-end residences, both contemporary and traditional, the same as his golf course preferences, as well as commercial projects, site planning. This is beautiful to me, furniture design and construction. It is really, really a fantastic thing that he has going, that he has created there on the eastern edge of Long Island. He's a dedicated member of a long list of community boards on which he serves, proving that he is indeed the good guy that we met at Streamsong. And he is also, to me, most importantly, a board member and a member of many of the committees at his home club, the beautiful Noyak Golf Club in nearby Sag Harbor, New York, which we'll talk to him about along the way. You can connect with Bruce, and I suggest you do, because it's just he's got some great posts that he puts up, not only about golf, but about his work and all the great architectural stuff that he does. You can find him, Bruce A.T. Siska, S-I-S-K-A, on Facebook or on Twitter. And this is the coolest one that I think I've seen. This would be on Instagram, at, and this is small letters, B period, A period, T period, S, underscore, A period, R period, C period, H period. I hope you guys out there listening have your pens and your pieces of paper ready for that. When I first saw it, I kind of went, what? What is that? Now I understand. We'll talk a little bit about it now.
By the way, Mitch, you can also just type Bruce Siska into your Instagram search.
Yes, and, of course, but it's not nearly as fun as doing it this way. Bruce, we know you've been patiently waiting while Darren and I just go on and on. Thanks for taking some time for us as you begin to settle in for the, I hate to say this, man, for the rapid onset of winter on Long Island. Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you for the introduction. It's great to be part of this. I'm very excited.
Well, good. And now that it's so cold, we're getting the first real winter's blast, but this is kind of a perfect thing to be doing on a Friday afternoon, isn't it?
Definitely.
Okay. Let's before we get going on the trips that we want to talk to you about, I was really interested because you know that Darren and I love history.
Definitely.
And we'll talk about the first time you met us and how shocked you were. But the historical part of what your middle initials, when I found out, mean are incredibly interesting to me. So it's Bruce and then A period, T period, Siska. Just tell us why they're such a cool part of yours and your family's story.
So, yeah, I mean, I grew up out here in East Hampton. My mother is part of, her maiden name was Talmadge. And we're one of the first five families that came over from initially Lynn, Massachusetts, came over across the Sound, settled into Southampton, and these five groups of guys decided, you know what, let's head a little further east and see what we can do. So, yeah, the first five was my mother's side, and it's just, you know, it's very interesting to sort of trace back that history all the way back to England, and you know, I think we were a few minutes right outside of London in a small little community that, you know, I have a bunch of people jumped on the boat and headed west and found themselves over here. So it's just, you know, it's great to be part of a history like that and stay in the community where, you know, I have really, really deep roots. So it's very interesting for sure.
Do you have a sense living there? And I know you, obviously you have a day-to-day life, family and work and golf and everything else. But do you just sometimes stop and reconnect with that part of it? I mean, are you aware on any kind of basis of the ties?
You know, every now and then it'll sort of pop up. I'll bump into somebody, you know, wandering through town, and, you know, we'll start chatting about, oh, you're related to this person. And you know, what's funny is the older families around here have a very, very common connection. You know, you can sort of trace back three or four generations to, you know, father and brother, or father and sister, or brother and brother split off and marry this family. And it's very funny how all of that sort of gets interconnected into, you know, the local people out here. It's very interesting.
It's so cool. You know, I grew up on Long Island toward the city, not that far outside the city on the south shore of Long Island. And I got to go out. I went out a lot to where you are. Of course, I didn't know you then, or else I would have seen you and been bowing down when I passed you. But it's interesting and great to me that you have such a connected history. All right, let's talk about this meeting. That for you and I have commented on this, that it was a really special day. But for Darren and I, we've done this kind of thing. We go on these trips often together. And this day was kind of like that day. We were down at Stream Song. We'd been there before, but Darren and I were there to play Gil Hance's Black for the first time. And we kind of took it as a regular day, except that it was just the two of us. So we got paired with you and your father. I want you to try to put into words, if you can, when you realized that you were going to be paired with a guy wearing a kilt, me, another guy wearing plus fours, Darren, and both of us playing 100-year-old hickory clubs.
Well, it's, you know, I do remember that day. The first 2 days, I think we played on a Wednesday. The first 2 days, my dad and I had played the red and blue course, and the black had just opened, so I was like beyond excited to play Gil Hance's new course. And, you know, I remember Monday and Tuesday being like excruciatingly hot. Tuesday night, I think the weather came through. We got up Wednesday morning. It was sort of overcast. The wind had changed. It was kind of cooler. And I remember getting off the shuttle, walking up to the pro shop to sort of check in and mill about. And Mitch, I saw you come in, and I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool. This guy's got a kilt on. He's like, nobody else around. Everybody is, you know, the typically dressed, the wind jacket, the khakis and whatever. And Mitch walks in with a kilt on. He's got his hat on. And I was like, whoa, that dude seems pretty cool. And we had sort of passed. I went out on the driving range, and Darren, I think you were down there also, and I noticed you, and then Mitch had come down to the driving range, and we're sort of just, you know, getting warmed up, getting ready to go. And then the three of us, actually the four of us with my dad, walked off together, heading towards the first tee. And I'm thinking at that point, I'm like, I think these guys are going to join us. And I'm looking, and I'm sort of studying, seeing what's going on. And then I noticed you guys had your hickory clubs. And I was like, wow, I think this is going to be probably like the coolest day ever if these guys are with us. And sure enough, you guys were paired with us for the round. And it was just one of those days where, you know, I'm never going to forget. And, you know, Mitch, I talked to you about this. It's, you know, we play a lot of golf, all over the world. And there are very, very few rounds that I will remember for the rest of my life. It probably I can count on one hand. And that round was one of those. I will never, ever forget that. It was so much fun playing with you guys. And it's just one of those things where, you know, everything sort of clicked. We all got along. We had a great time. We had a great round. And it was just one of those golf experiences where everything came together. Great golf course, great weather, and great company. And it was just, you know, like I said, I will never forget that.
Well, neither will we. I mean, it was definitely a lot of fun. About the golf course itself, I mean, you were experiencing, all of us were experiencing the Black Course for the first time. And it is, it's my favorite course of the three, actually, because of the so many different angles, so many different things you can do out there. What are some of your thoughts, Bruce, on the Black and how it compared in that, you know, a trifecta that they have there at Stream Song in terms of the different golf courses? I've talked to a lot of people and they all rank them. It's like Bandon or anywhere else where people rank them in different ways. They like the different courses for different reasons. Where does it fall in your list? And what about the Black really attracted you to it or just makes it memorable after you're done?
Well, you know, I think the Black being sort of the Gil Hance, I met Gil probably, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. He had done a little, another nine out on one of the courses out here. So I had lunch with him before he was sort of like, you know, famous now. And, you know, just stepping on the golf course, you know, I can remember a few of the holes. I can't remember like all of the holes, unfortunately. But, you know, the punch bowl really stuck out in my mind as that little sort of par four and this massive punch bowl green. And, you know, you can't see the pin. And the one par five where it's sort of, it's got the two tiers that go up. And it was just, it stuck out to me more than either. I mean, listen, the Black and the blue and the black, no, the blue and the red have some great golf holes as well. But, you know, the Black just sort of fit in. It sort of rolled with the terrain. And it just, to me, seemed a little more natural, I think, if that's the right word. And, you know, it was just, it, being with you guys sort of makes it stand out more to me than the other two, to be honest with you.
Well, it's really interesting, as Darren, and I think that's the mark of a great destination, is that you can have people who feel so many different ways about each course that's there. I agree with you that the day and the company and the whole way it unfolded was absolutely fantastic. Darren and I, as I said, had been there before. We had experiences on the red and the blue that were great. But I don't think there's any doubt that the three courses together make for a place you could obviously just spend days and days.
I wanted to ask Bruce one follow-up here. Did you stay at the resort as well at Stream Song?
Yes, we did stay in, we stayed at the resort, yes, for sure.
And what did you think? It's just a fantastic building, and Mitch and I were blown away the first time we were there, and then we came back a second time. You know, I'm always interested in getting other people's opinions on the just kind of piece of art that the lodge is.
The lodge, I got to tell you, the lodge I was sort of blown away with. It's probably one of the best designed buildings on a resort that we've been to. Just the attention to detail, the rooms were just, you know, the room was so spacious and, you know, just the little details, you know, the living room, the double-sided TV, the bathrooms were great. And, you know, you open the window, floor-to-ceiling glass, and you look out over the golf course, and it's just like, wow, I can't believe we're in the middle of Florida, you know? It was really, really impressive.
Let me ask you on that line, which was a great point, Dee. This is what you do for a living, Bruce.
Yes.
You design. You see something in your mind. You have a space. You work with a client. We can't get into it here. Darren and I have talked about it on the show before, about the whole process of how that lodge came to be and the architecture firm that was responsible. When you go to places and you stay at a resort, are you more, I would assume, you're more hooked in to that kind of thing than most of us who just go, what a great room. the level you must get to in terms of looking at a place like the lodge has to be off the charts.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, granted, it's a vacation, right? And we're there to play golf. Golf's the focus. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm always checking stuff out. I'm always sort of analyzing, okay, would I have done this better? Where would I have sited the building better? Would I have outfitted the rooms better? You know, all that stuff's going on in the back of my mind, which may be why I never play golf that well when we're there. But
you played great when we played. Stop it.
But, you know, that's always, and unfortunately, you know, as an architect, you know, I'm always sort of analyzing and checking stuff out and, you know, looking at details, looking at materials, looking at furniture, looking at, you know, circulation, all that crazy stuff that, you know, most people are like, yeah, you know, it's what it is, what it is. It's the bed, it's the TV, it's the bathroom. I don't care. But yeah, I sort of get involved with all that stuff. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that it's, you know, when you're in a well-designed structure on a well-designed property, it's just, it leaves sort of a lasting impression. It's one of those places that it's, you know, in the middle of nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't think that the level of detail would be there. You know, that the pro shop up at the Black was just, I mean, that was just an incredible structure. And it just sort of blends right in, you know, which I think is really, really cool.
I think Darren and I are on board with that.
Definitely. I tell people all the time that resort is probably the best designed resort I've been to, you know, and I've been to more than 100 now, you know, around the world and, you know, seen 500 plus golf courses, but it really is a fantastic place to go just for a vacation. You know, if you took the golf out of it, it's a fantastic building. So another place that you've been now, you went and did the big Wisconsin trip. And you went to Erin Hills and Sand Valley. I think we want to start with Sand Valley. I believe it was your favorite of the two. And, you know, we just want to get your sense on, tell us a little bit about the trip, what all you did while you were there. And then I'm certainly going to have lots of questions because Sand Valley is another of my favorite places.
Yeah. So end of September, we headed out of New York, flew into Milwaukee. Nice 2.5 hour drive up to Sand Valley. And again, you know, sort of one of those places that's kind of in the middle of nowhere. You don't really expect to drive up on a property like that. The cool thing was, you know, the accommodations I didn't think were as good as Stream Song. But interestingly enough, the room that I had looked over the sandbox.
Right.
So I opened my door, I schlepped all my stuff in, went to the glass door, opened the curtain, and I was like, whoa, the sandbox is like right there. The one of the tees was like right out of my room, which was, I thought that was probably one of the coolest things. We didn't get to play the sandbox till the following day, but, you know, that was super cool. You know, very simple accommodations. It was, you know, we didn't spend a lot of time in the room anyway. Once again, I mean, Sand Valley was just, it was such a fun course to play. We played in the morning. Got done, had lunch up at the little halfway house up there.
At Craig's porch.
Craig's porch, exactly. We just sort of kicked back. The rain had stopped, grabbed a beer. And I think it was, somebody was telling us about the tacos up there.
Yes.
I think it was tacos. Yes. So we had, make your own tacos. That's exactly what it was. Yes. So we grabbed a couple tacos, had a couple beers, sat up there, watched people tee off on 1 and 10. And, I mean, the great part of that little place is it's so elevated. You can look over the whole property up there. And it's just amazing.
Yeah, that's a fantastic spot. And I think a lot of places don't get that right. And it was the first thing that Sand Valley did was Craig Haltom, who Craig's Porch is named after, who I know, he's the guy who found the property, actually. They realized quickly that this would be the perfect spot for the start and end, and this little halfway house and, the chairs to overlook the 18th and down the first and 10th fairways. And I think the design of the course from that standpoint is almost unparalleled. It is such a great spot that is multifunctional depending on where you are in your round, what you're doing. And then it was Sand Valley's goal to offer, incredibly affordable eats up there. So the beers aren't that expensive. The tacos aren't that expensive. You can get the ice cream sandwiches for which Sand Valley is famous up there. It's a perfect spot.
It really was. And it was, Core Crenshaw, it lays out so nice, the typical risk reward, and just, if you're hitting the ball well, just bang it down the middle of the fairway and it's always going to work out for you in the end. And it was just so enjoyable to play. And, we got done, had lunch, and I'm like, all right, I think I want to go play again. And it's just, that's like a really good indicator of how well the course is designed and plays to sort of my game. And the great thing was we had lunch, we went back down to the room, and we went and played the sandbox, which, again, is so laid back. I had seen guys the day before kick off their shoes, grab a beer, grab two clubs, and go out and play. So I convinced my dad. I'm like, let's go. We got to do this. So bare feet, couple of clubs, two beers in hand, and off we went to play this little, par three course. And it was so enjoyable, so much fun.
And what a perfect, and we've seen it in other spots now, obviously, but what a perfect complement to what you experienced out on the Sand Valley course. Or
right.
Mammoth Dunes, which we'll talk about as well.
Yeah, it was so much fun. And it's, you can hear, there's people out in the little sandbox and you can hear them, yelling and screaming. Everybody's having a great time. Everybody.
That pretty much says it all.
Yeah, what I find interesting about the sandbox, and we talk about the Cradle at Pinehurst a lot, and I think we've made this point on other podcasts. And the Cradle is a very cool experience. But to me, the sandbox feels more like playing golf. The Cradle feels like just going out there and bumping it around a little bit with buddies and drinking, and you're never hitting much more than 100 yards or whatever. The sandbox has a much better variety of shots. 17 holes. The penultimate hole is actually one of the better par threes on the golf course. And going back to what Bruce said about the lodging, what I think is great about the lodging at Sand Valley is it achieves what it needs to achieve. It's not over the top. It has what you're looking for, but the proximity to golf is one of my favorite things about Sand Valley. So if you stay down there in those rooms where Bruce stayed, where you walk right out onto the sandbox, or you can stay up in the main rooms at the lodge, you walk right out onto the putting green on the back and out to the first tee of Mammoth Dunes. Or you can stay up in the little kind of cottages that they have up on the way to Craig's Porch, and then you're essentially just walking distance to the first tee and off the 18th hole right there on the Sand Valley course. So I think the entire resort is very, very well thought out in that regard. And, they're not stopping building lodging, Mitch. They can't get enough lodging on that property because people want to come and they need to have more enough rooms. And so I think you'll continue to see more, and certainly you'll see even more lodging once the Tom Doak course gets built as well, to make that place even more fantastic.
Yeah. And I want to add something too, because we got to keep in mind that the Cradle is what the Cradle is.
Oh yeah.
Which is just, it's just an adjunct to the resort. You can't stay there. I mean, if you're staying at, you know, the hotel there, fine, but it's not meant to be what the Sandbox is meant to be, or the Preserve, or so it's never going to feel like the golf experience if the Sandbox will. But what a great thing to have.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't mean the Cradle. I love the Cradle, but to me, this whole idea of what the Sandbox represents, and Bruce, what you're saying about hearing people scream and have fun, and yeah, that to me is everything.
You know, the other thing at the Sandbox too, you talk about it just being pure fun. There's like a canoe up there that you pass a couple of times. It's just full of beer. It's full of ice and beer.
Did you hit that a few times, Bruce?
Of course.
I'm glad you hesitated like you were going to lie about it. Who, us? No. All right, let's move. I want to touch also on Mammoth Dunes and the experience you had there. You talk about a great 1-2 punch, and I haven't been there, but from everything I hear, you're not going to find too many better 1-2 punches.
Absolutely not. I mean, we played Sand Valley twice. Mammoth Dunes, unfortunately, was only a one and done, but I mean, just another fantastic course. And, you know, Mammoth is sort of an understatement. I mean, there's holes where you can, I hate to use the SH word, but you can shank the ball 150 yards dead right, and you're still in the fairway with a shot to the green. It was just mind-boggling how massive this place was.
I think the interesting thing about that, too, and we're big fans of that, obviously. Mitch and I preach playability. We are, what do we call ourselves? Playability whores, Mitch?
That's fair. Yeah.
But when we were with David Kidd up at Gamble Sands last year, well, I guess earlier this year, you know, he was talking about, you know, that's his mentality now for playable golf, that if you want to make par, it should be about even odds between the architect and the golfer. If you want to make birdie, the odds are in Kidd's favor. And if you want to make bogey, the odds are in the golfer's favor. And I think that is just such a cool way to look at it. And I want to be able to find my golf ball. Even if I hit a bad shot, I want to be able to go find it and try to hit a recovery shot. And that's one of the things that I find on his golf courses. And really, Sand Valley, to an extent, does that same thing, because there's a lot of width at Sand Valley. The difference is there's even more width at Mammoth Dunes. So I think people are like, oh, the Sand Valley course is kind of normal, and then Mammoth Dunes is so super wide. But really, Sand Valley course is also super wide compared to the course you're playing at home, you know, that's tree lined or someplace else. So, you know, it's a definite mentality that Kidd has in building that golf course. And when somebody says, like you said, well, you can hit it sideways and still, you know, find a way to hit it to the green. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It forces you to hit a spectacular shot to get back in position. You know, I really love that.
Yeah, no, it's even not as harsh as saying you need to hit a spectacular second shot. You can find your ball, and you're not trying to punch it through trees or through rough or anything. You have a fair lie with a fair chance to hit it back in play and on the green. And it's just, you know, it's enjoyable to sort of play that way. Because you know you're not going to lose your ball unless you really do something horrendous. But and then, you know that you do have a chance, again, to make the green. So it's just, it's a whole sort of different mentality of how to play golf. And it was just a lot of fun. I have nothing bad to say about it, because it was so enjoyable. And, you know, I know they're building the third course there, so it's just going to get better.
Let me follow this up, because you're playing with your dad. Your games are a little bit different, you and your dad. How did he respond to it? I'm interested, because you told me when we were talking about Sand Valley and Mammoth. And this will lead us to talk about Erin Hills. You said you were playing some of the best golf of your life at Sand Valley and Mammoth. How was your dad feeling? Did he enjoy it as much? Did his game feel better to him because of the circumstances of Sand Valley and Mammoth and how they're laid out?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about the great thing, again, about both courses is you can play the combination tees or straight up white or red or the combination. So, I mean, there's so many options. If you're, you know, if you want to, you're feeling good, you can play up a tee if you want. If you're not feeling so great, do a combination. So, and the caddy we had, the same caddy for 3 days, and he, you know, he was great. He talked to my dad. He's like, listen, where do you feel comfortable playing from? We can always switch. The course is set up where he really enjoyed playing there as well. You know, it's fair. He moved up, you know, obviously a different set of tees than I was from, but it's still playable for him, enjoyable for him, and he's not trying to hit, you know, shots over, you know, crazy water where you got to carry it 250 or whatever. He played to his game, and I think both courses set up really well for his game as well as my game. So, you know, it's really, the resort's really well thought out for any type of golfer.
Do you think as you went along during the rounds that you played, and again, you told me how well you were playing, do you feel like once you start there and you settle in, because Darren and I have talked to David Kidd about this, about the confidence of playing in a place where you can play, where he literally lets you play. Did you feel that as you went along? Did it add to your confidence as you went along that you were able to play so well?
You know, it took me probably the first day, it took me probably 3 or 4 holes to actually figure out distances and how far the ball will travel. The first hole at Sand Valley, you know, it's a relatively short hole. I think I hit maybe 230 off. My approach shot flew the green, and I was looking at my caddy. I'm like, what's going on here? And he's like, all right, well, maybe that's whatever. Second hole, same thing. And, you know, I'm like, I don't think we're at elevation. I don't think, you know, it's not hot out. The ball's not, you know, going crazy distances. But, you know, by the third or fourth hole, we had it dialed in. And once we dialed it in, it was like night and day. Bang it down the fairway, give me a number to the pin, club down, and on the green, you know, putting for par. So, it took a couple holes to sort of settle in, but once we dialed it in, it was just like, wow, this is a lot of fun.
And that's something that comes with playing links golf, you know, that figuring it out process is something that, you know, no matter where we go, whether it's Cabot or Bandon or down a stream song, you know, it takes some time to try to figure that out. And I think that's part of the fun and beauty of golf.
For sure.
Let's talk about Erin Hills, because now you went there, you had a completely different experience. Erin Hills is not the open, playable experience that Sand Valley is. So I'm interested in hearing your thoughts and what you came away from Erin Hills with.
Ooh, yeah. So I think out of the whole trip, I was really, really excited about Erin Hills. And I don't know why, but I was really excited. So we came off of 3 days at Sand Valley. I played really well. We got to Erin in the afternoon, sort of checked everything out, and, you know, next day got up and played. And the wind, guys, I got to tell you, the wind was just howling. Howling. So... It made for a very, very humbling experience. And it was just, it's a whole different animal than Sand Valley. It was, you know, you got to put your ball in the correct spot. Otherwise, it's in, you know, 5 inches of rough or it was just, it was hard golf for me. And you know, I came off of the latter part of the season playing really, really well. Had a lot of confidence in my game coming out of Sand Valley. And I'm thinking, you know, I probably can play well here. And whew, it was not easy.
And did you only go around it once?
No, we were there for 2 days. So we played twice. And I was telling Mitch, you know, we got to the ninth hole. The ninth is that little downhill par three.
Uh-huh.
And the first day I was like, I'm not sure I want to keep playing. I was exhausted. I was wind blown. Half the time, it's really hard to navigate that course. The caddies were really well saying, you know, this is where you need to hit it. This is where you have to aim. But a lot of the shots are blind shots. So it's, you get up there for the first time, and the caddy's like, all right, hit it over my head. But hitting it over his head, you're hitting like over this massive hill. You have no idea what's beyond the hill. And it's just sort of this mind game that it's like, oof. Then the wind is, you know, the wind factors in, and oh my God, it was exhausting. It really, really was exhausting. I mean, the course is beautiful, but wow, a whole different ball game than what we had come from.
And it's not a particularly easy walk either. You know, because so many of the tees are elevated, you're kind of going up to these elevated tees and back down and up again. That's the part to me that really kind of wore me out when I was at Erin Hills.
Yeah, I mean, you're up and down. And I think it was when we had finished the first day, I think my Garmin had told me it was almost 8.5 miles. And it, you know, I felt like I had gone 8.5 miles and was just beaten. It was just, like I said, it was very, very humbling.
Talk some about the resort though, Bruce. You guys stayed overnight there, I assume. You know, it's got a very old world feel to it. I think they really have succeeded in that and what they've done with the buildings and the cart barns, you know, all look like buildings that have been there on the property forever. And it's kind of a fascinating resort from that perspective.
Yeah. So, you know, the clubhouse and, you know, the restaurants, we stayed in the little building or the little lodge just off the putting green. The buildings are like, you know, old, like you said, old school, sort of real, you know, cozy and dark. They had a fire going in the dining room. And it's just, from that aspect, very, very well thought out, well designed, fit in the landscape, like really, really, really well. We had dinner out on the porch both nights, and you know, you sit out there, you can watch the sunset. The lights come on their new putting green right down below, and it's just you feel like you're somewhere else. You know, the cart barn was set up. They call it it's like the caddy shack or something, and it's got, you know, all sorts of ping pong games in there, and it's really well thought out for being sort of a newer resort. Great practice facility as well, the driving range, and they have I think they have some kind of TrackMan or something set up where you can download the app on your phone, and they have cameras set up and tracks your swing and everything. So it was that aspect was really, really nice.
You know, I'm interested because and there's reasons for it. You and I, when we talked on the phone about Erin, and you know, you realize that they were built for very different reasons. Sand Valley, Mammoth Dunes, Sandbox, Tom Doak course coming, built for destination golf and what Mike Kaiser is famous for in bringing people to a destination. Erin Hills was really built to hold the U.S. Open.
Right.
I mean, that specifically. So, you know, the interesting thing about this kind of travel in golf is if that's the experience you want to have, I'm sure you were excited because it was a U.S. Open venue.
Right.
And you're a really good golfer, so you want to get out there and you want to test yourself and say, okay, I'm going to play it. But they're built for very different things. So let us get away from Erin Hills because you sound tired just talking about it.
Reliving my experience.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to leave. Well, think about what you said. You walked off Sand Valley and said, I want to go play again.
Yeah.
You played 9 holes at Erin Hills and said, I don't think I want to finish.
It was...
I don't want to bring up those memories again. We can leave
no,
them there.
I shouldn't say it that like that, but it was just, it was, you know, it was totally different experience, total opposites.
Right. And it makes sense. I get it. You add the wind in and it's a big factor.
For sure.
Okay. Let's move away because I want to touch on this. We don't have to dive into any of these courses, but I think one of the great things about your life kind of as it's come together and your work and everything else, you love history. Your family's connected to history. You're in a field of architecture where you not only do modern stuff, but you're very involved in traditional architecture and you know, keeping those kind of structures alive and living. But you are also lucky to live in a part of the golf universe where you are close to some of the most iconic, legendary courses in the game, all in the same area. So just touch on some of the great places you've been able to play, maybe a couple of your favorites, and just share that with us because you're one lucky mother.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I guess we can start with, you know, probably one of my favorite places, which is basically, I mean, Mitch, I was telling you, it's probably a driver, 2 iron right down the road for me. And that's
right.
That's the Maidstone Golf Club. And, you know, I've grown up really, really close to that course. A friend of mine in high school used to sneak on there after school and, you know, dump our bikes in a potato field and sort of sneak on with a couple clubs and hack it around. Just a fabulous place. My wife and I got married there a while back, and it's a really, really special place. So, I mean, you know, we can start there. We can obviously head west a little bit to Southampton, where we run into, you know, Shinnecock. Right next door is National. The new course right up the hill from National, Sabonic, where they had the ladies' U.S. Open a few years back. A little further out on the North Shore is a relatively new course called Friar's Head, which is just another wonderful, wonderful track. I was lucky enough to play there a few weeks ago, and it's unreal. It really is. It's an amazing place, and it's funny because I played there a few weeks ago, hadn't been over in a number of years, and I had it in the GPS, and the GPS is like, all right, turn right here. And I was like, well, if I turn right, it's a dirt road. There's no signage. There's no nothing. And sure enough, that's the entrance into the golf course. And it's, you know, if you didn't know it was there, you'd drive right by it.
Sounds like a few others that we're getting used to now.
So, I mean, it's such a unique area out here. And, you know, we're so lucky to have, you know, this caliber of golf, you know, so close to where I live. It's you know, the U.S. Open was at Shinnecock a few years back, and it's maybe 15 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
So it's really a unique place for sure.
You know, you're touching on Corin Crenshaw a lot here, right?
Yes.
Between Maidstone, because they worked on that. They did Friar's Head.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're lucky. Go ahead, Darren.
Bruce, what's the public golf like out there around you? Is there a place, if I was coming to visit and I couldn't get on any of the private courses that we've mentioned, is there a cool little 9-hole or 18-hole course that should be the one?
Yeah, I mean, there's one out in, believe it or not, way out in Montauk Downs. It's just a fabulous track. Public course owned by the state of New York. They were given, after the U.S. Open came to Bethpage that first time,
right.
A lot of that revenue went out to the course out in Montauk. It's a great track. It's always, the wind is always howling out there. But they've done some great renovations. They maintain it really well. And, you know, if I was not fortunate enough to have a course that I'm a member at, that's where I would go.
Nice.
Everybody goes out there, and, you know, it's just one of those things that you wouldn't think way out there on the end of the island that there would be this sort of gem, but it's there, and it's a great track. There's a lot of others. You know, there's newer tracks sort of in Riverhead that are okay, playable courses, fun courses. Nothing like out in Montauk, though.
Montauk's a really interesting place because the course itself was built in 1927, but then Robert Trent Jones Sr. and Reese went in and reworked it in 1968. So it's got a lot of legs. You know, it's been there for a long time. But I didn't play golf growing up on Long Island. So I didn't get to experience a lot of the places that you've been, you know, you've played. I can't wait to get up there and stay at your house for a month and just play all these places.
Yeah, the invitation's open.
Wait, I said a month.
Yeah, you come out for a month. We can arrange it.
Oh, all right, cool. Let's touch on before we find out about what you're going to be doing. But you mentioned, if I didn't have the home club that I have. But you do. And it's a course that most people probably haven't heard of. It's called Noyac Golf Club. But it's got it doesn't go back to 1927, but it's got a pretty great history. Tell us a little bit about Noyac, why you picked it, why you love going to play there. It looks like a fantastic spot to me.
Yeah, Noyac is sort of it's this unfound gem. You know, obviously we're stuck in the area of all these huge names, and we're just sort of this little golf course out in Sag Harbor, Noyac area. And, you know, it was built late 60s by a couple of guys, purchased the land, laid it all out. And, I mean, for the first few years, the course really, really kind of struggled. My dad was fortunate enough at the time. He was... He had a fuel oil dealership, and he was delivering fuel oil up to the club, and they had no money to pay him. So they offered him a share of stock the first year, and he's like, okay. Second year, same thing happened. And he's like, well, I guess I own share of this golf course. Maybe I should learn how to play golf. So that's how he got started, believe it or not, in the game.
How cool.
So, you know, I sort of grew up there. Back then, when I was growing up, golf was not as popular as it is now. So, you know, it was tough as a kid. I played golf, right? I didn't play football. I didn't play baseball. I played golf. And it's just been one of those places that, you know, you think about Maidstone. Excuse me. You think about Maidstone. You think about Shinnecock. It's sort of this linksy, open golf course. Our fairways are cut out of the woods, believe it or not. So it's a whole different feel than what's around us. And you know, we've changed over time, obviously, with you know, the new sort of philosophies on how you got to get air and sun and whatever else under the fairways and under the greens. We've had to take out some trees. Actually, a lot of trees, but you know, it still maintains its character. We've just finished up going through. We've renovated all of our greens to USGA specs, and you know, it's a great course. Tree line, so it's, you know, you got to hit the ball straight, otherwise you're punching out through the trees, and it's tough. I mean, we have the tees I play. All of our par threes are 200 plus. So, yeah, it's a challenging course. It's a lot of fun. I have a great group of guys that I play with on the weekends. And it's just it's a nice course to be a part of.
You know what's interesting? And I did a little research, as I often do, because I hadn't heard of Noyac. But just, Darren, a little bit of info. It was built originally in the 60s, as Bruce said, by a guy named William Mitchell. And this is another in a long list of architects that people haven't heard of. But he designed over 150 golf courses and did restoration work on over 200 golf courses. William Mitchell, who I never heard of.
That's amazing, too, because there are these people. We do this for a living, Mitch. And I had, when I saw that in the notes, I'd never heard of him either.
I know. But here's one way you know that that NOIAC is hard. 7,000 from the tips or so, Bruce?
Yes.
Okay, it's got a rating of 74.9 and a slope of 144.
Yeah.
So this, and the pictures are beautiful. I mean, the kind of rolling nature of it and the slopes and everything else. It looks like everything you'd want in a place to play all the time, all the challenge you want.
Yeah, for sure.
How cool.
Not a lot of people play from the tips, though. It's a bear.
Bruce, what's next for you and your dad? You've done a lot of adventures. You've gone to a lot of places. Where will you be dreaming about this winter as it's getting cold? You know, what do you have on the horizon for 2020?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And, you know, my dad and I started talking about that on our way back. You know, we're sort of running out of places to go. It's, you know, we've hit a lot of them. We were actually talking about possibly going to the Greenbrier this fall.
Sweet.
We have played at the Homestead right over the hill. We were there a couple years ago, and the Greenbrier it's been on our radar for a little while. Unfortunately, my mom and my wife want to go with us because of what it is. So I think we've sort of, you know, tried to hit everywhere else before that. But I think that's maybe our next trip. I know Bandon has a new course that we both have heard about, and we were sort of thinking about maybe we head way out there again to check that out. But yeah, I think in the next few weeks we'll start to talk about it more and hopefully firm something up.
You've seen a lot of Bandon already, so you can fit in the Sheep Branch at some other time. I'm a big fan of the Greenbrier. I think the overall experience there is just fantastic. I have not played all of the golf courses, but the resort itself is, it's true royalty in this country as far as resorts go, and it's a fantastic place.
We'll keep our eyes and ears open. I know you'll be letting us know. And if you go to Greenbrier, make sure you go to Oakhurst Links, which is a couple miles away and where you can play with long-nose hickory clubs.
Ooh,
that's right.
There we go.
Just for that's where I played my first hickory club ever.
Wow. I'll have to keep that in
yeah,
mind.
It's historic. I think they have a plaque there for me, but I'm not sure. They may have taken it down by now. All right, man, this has been great. I really appreciate the time. I know Darren does too. And again, this is what the game is all about. Completely unexpected meeting of friends. I think we were friends before, but we just didn't know it. But from that day, it's Stream Song. This one will go on, and hopefully we can get to tee it up again.
Definitely.
Thanks for spending some time with us. Please give our regards to your dad, too. And you guys are always welcome here in Myrtle Beach, and you're always welcome in Bakersfield. I'm inviting you out to go see Darren there, too.
Or he could come to Rams Hill. That would be
That's true.
That would be better.
That's true. Maybe we should have a Rams Hill meetup.
That sounds good.
That would be fun. Well, good luck. We could spend a lot of time talking about the other part of your world and the architecture, and maybe someday we'll... here's a question I want to ask you before I leave.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I remembered this. Given that you are an actual architect and that you love golf, have you ever had a desire to design any golf courses or holes?
Wow. That is... That's a great question. I think that's a whole different sort of facet than what I am used to day in and day out.
Well, I know it's different unless you're growing grass inside the houses you build. But my point is, just from a visualization point, have you ever just kind of wandered around and thought, oh, I might have put a bunker there. Maybe I'll put this place would be great for a golf course.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, you see pieces of land, or you walk around pieces of land, or even, you know, even my own golf course, everybody sort of comes to me every now and then and is like, Bruce, you've got the eye. What do you think we should do? So, it's definitely cool. Something that I think, you know, if I was given the opportunity, I would definitely take advantage of. I do sit on the Greens Committee at NOIAC, so I get a lot of that, you know, aesthetic sort of stuff, questions all the time. Yeah, maybe in the future.
Maybe you'll marry it and just start, you know, designing the odd clubhouse here and there or lodging.
That would be nice.
Like they did at Stream Song.
That would be fun, definitely.
All right. All right, I'll keep my eyes and ears open. Thanks again for being with us. You can find Bruce again on Facebook, Bruce A.T. Siska, S-I-S-K-A, or on Instagram, just look up Bruce Siska. I'm not going to go into that again. And you'll find it, but they're both worth it. There's a lot of great stuff, and can't thank you enough, Bruce.
Well, thank you guys.
And, of course, we have to thank the listeners. We couldn't do it without them. Follow us at Golf Trip Experts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Hit us up with your thoughts about the best of golf travel. Tell us what you think about Erin Hills and Stream Song and Sand Valley and anything else that you want to talk about.
All right. Thanks again to Bruce Alexander Talmadge Siska. I'm going to call you that from now on.
Thanks, guys.
Period. That's it the whole time. I will talk to you soon. And Bruce has had a bunch of dreams fulfilled. You've heard it here today. He's got many more to come. We hope you go out there and run down your own dreams. So long.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.